Our final reading. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For each one should carry their own load. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of the righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are holding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also. So I'm sure when we're reading these tonight, you're kind of going like, where in the world are all those scriptures coming to and how do they come into play? But the scriptures that we're talking about and use tonight all have to do with setting healthy boundaries. There's a summer group of us that are going through the book by Drs. Cloud and Townsend. It's their infamous book on boundaries. And it's boundaries, when to say yes, how to say no, and to take care of your life. And what I like about the book is that it's completely scriptural based. It helps us understand what healthy boundaries are, how they're developed. There's a lot of myths about them, so it goes through what the myths are. And it talks about boundary conflicts that we have within our life, whether it's with your spouse, your children, your work, your friends, with God, yourself. And it has all this time dedicated to us to better understand our boundaries. So tonight I thought what we'd do is just take a high-level look about what a boundary looks like and why they're important for us. So we need to set mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual boundaries for our lives to help us distinguish what is our responsibility and what isn't. So the inability to set appropriate boundaries at appropriate times with the appropriate people can be very destructive. Many Christians, though, they struggle with confusion as to when it's biblically okay to set limits with people. And a lot of times, that's what keeps people from setting the boundaries. They think they're not allowed to. So the reality is that using these biblical boundaries appropriately actually helps us achieve the relationships and the purposes that God intends for us as children of him. So one example that the authors give in the book that helps us understand the need and purpose of boundaries is that they had heartbroken parents that had come for counseling because their adult son was not making the best of life choices. He was unable to stay in school or find work. Yet he didn't see any reason to change his behavior. So his parents had always given him everything that he needed. They would find ways for him to get into another school. So when he'd flunk out of one school, they would find ways for him to get into the next one and the next. They did whatever they could to make the son's life as easy as possible. So the counselor shocked the parents when he said that the son doesn't have the problem that the parents did. The son can pretty much do whatever he wants, no problem. You pay, you worry, you plan, you exert energy to keep him going. He doesn't have a problem because you've taken it from him. Those things should be his problem, but as it now stands, they're yours. The counselor suggested the solution to the problem would be to clarify some boundaries so that the son's actions actually would cause him problems and not the parents. So to help the parents understand the boundaries with their son, he gave this example. He said, it's as if he's your neighbor who never waters his lawn. But whenever you turn on your sprinkler, the water falls on his lawn. So your grass is turning brown and it's dying, but his grass looks great. So he looks at his green grass and he goes, my yard's doing fine. That's how your son's life is. He said, he doesn't study or plan or work, yet he has a nice place to live, plenty of money, and all the rights of a family member who's doing his part. So the parents kind of got the picture there. He said, if you would define the property lines a little better, If you had fixed the sprinkler system so that the water would fall in your own yard and not his, then if he didn't water his own grass, he's going to be living in dirt. And he might not like that after a while. As it stands now, he is irresponsible and really happy, and you're responsible and miserable. A little boundary clarification would do the trick. You need some fences, right, to keep his problems out of your yard and in his, where they belong. So the parents then finally got to understand what was going on and the purpose of setting boundaries. So while the physical boundaries, when you see them, are really simple, right? We've got fences, we have signs, we have walls, so we pretty much know physically where we can go and where we can't. Spiritual boundaries are just as real, but they're a lot harder to define because they're intangible. These boundaries, though, define your soul, and they help you maintain it. Boundaries define what is me and what's not me. A boundary shows me where I end and where someone else begins. It leads me then to a sense of ownership of what I own and what I'm responsible for. God designed a world we all live within ourselves. Right? We inhabit our own souls, and we're responsible to the things that make up us. We have to deal with what is in our soul, and boundaries actually help us to define that. But if we're not shown parameters, right, or we're not taught, or we're taught wrong parameters, or we're never shown parameters for this, we're in for a lot of pain. So the Bible tells us clearly what our parameters are and how to protect them, but often our family or past relationships, they confuse us about parameters. In addition to showing us what we're responsible for, boundaries also help us to define what is not our responsibility, what is not on our property. For example, we're not responsible for other people. Much to the dismay of probably many people in this room, we are not responsible for anybody but ourselves, which is kind of sometimes hard to swallow. The Bible verse that we spoke earlier in Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And then verse 5, for each one should carry their own load, are used by the authors to help us understand that we are responsible to others and for ourselves. So it's not when we're setting boundaries, it's not about being selfish. It is actually just knowing where it is that we're responsible for ourselves and to someone else. And when they're explaining it, they did a great job. They talk about the Greek word for load in the scripture means cargo, or the burden of daily toil. So load describes the everyday things that we all need to do. They're like, he calls, knapsacks. And we're expected to carry on our own knapsack. We're responsible for and to deal with our own thoughts, feelings, attitudes, beliefs, behaviors, our choices, the values that we have, setting limits on others and also limits on ourselves. And we're also responsible for using the gifts and talents that God gave us to be productive. And we're responsible for our desires. So those things are our load. Those are the things that we carry in our knapsack, and we're responsible for those. But the Greek word for burden means excess burdens, or burdens that are so heavy that they weigh us down. These burdens are more like the boulders, and we're not expected to carry our boulders by ourselves. These are the times where we don't have the strength, maybe we don't have the resources or the knowledge to actually carry that load. We need help in those times of crisis and tragedy in our lives. So those are the times where we're responsible to help others and to also ask. He says that problems actually arise when people act as if their boulders are daily loads and they refuse help. Or as if their daily loads, things that they need to be responsible for, are boulders and they shouldn't have to carry those. The results of these two instances are either perpetual pain from not asking for help, or irresponsibility. So it's important to determine where my boundary of responsibility is and where someone else's begins. Boundaries help us to distinguish our property so that we can take care of it. We need to keep things that will nurture us inside our fences and keep things that will harm us on the outside. And sometimes we already have some bad on our inside, and we have good on the outside. And in those instances, we need to be able to open up our boundaries and let the good in and let the bad out. So we do need to have some gates on our fences. So we know it's not a firm wall here. We have to be able to let in and out. For example, if I find that I have some kind of pain that I'm going through or some kind of sin within, I need to open up and I need to communicate to God and to others so that I can be healed. So confessing sin and pain, it helps to get it out so that it doesn't continue to poison me on the inside. So that's something that may be inside us that needs to be able to get out. And when the good is on the outside, we need to open our gates and let that in. Others have good things to give us, and we need to open our hearts to them. Often we close our boundaries to the good things from others, staying in a state of deprivation. So for some people, if you ever ask in a room, how easy is it for you to give to someone? And most people say, oh yeah, that's really easy. And then you flip and you say, how easy is it for you to receive? And most people will say, oh, absolutely not, that's so hard to do. But in this case, there's times where we need to be able to receive so that we can let the goodness in. And as we live in community with others, all members have their own space and their own property, and we need fences strong enough to keep the bad out and gates in those fences to let out the bad that's already in our soul then and let the good in that we so desperately need. And he did this really great rendition of the Good Samaritan story. He says the story of the Good Samaritan is a model of correct behavior and how boundaries should both be observed and violated. Let's review the story and we'll see how the story could read if the Samaritan was a boundaryless person. So, right, the man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was mugged. The robbers stripped him, they beat him, leaving him half dead. Priest and a Levite passed by on the other side of the road, ignoring the hurt man. But the Samaritan took pity on him, bandaged his wounds, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, the Samaritan gave the innkeeper money and said, look after him, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Now, pause that. Suppose that the injured man wakes up at this point in the story and he says, what? You're leaving? Yes, I am. I have some business in Jericho I have to attend to. The Samaritan replies, don't you think you're being selfish? I'm in pretty bad shape here. I'm going to need someone to talk to. How is Jesus going to use you as an example? You're not even acting like a Christian, abandoning me like this in my time of need. Whatever happened to deny yourself? Why, I guess you're right, the Samaritan says. That would be uncaring of me to leave you here alone. I should do more. I'll postpone my trip for a few days. So he stays with the man for a few days, talking to him, making sure that he's happy and content. And on the afternoon of the third day, there's a knock on the door and a messenger comes in. He hands the Samaritan a message from the business contact in Jericho, the one he never made it to. Waited as long as we could, have decided to sell camels to another party. Our next herd will be here in 6 months. How could you do this to me? The Samaritan screams at the recovering man, waving the message in the air. Look what you've done now. You have caused me to lose those camels I need for my business. Now I can't deliver my goods. This may put me out of business. How could you do this to me? At some level, this story may be familiar to all of us. We may be moved with compassion to give to someone in need, but then this person manipulates us to giving more than we want to give. We end up resentful and angry, having missed something we needed in our own lives, or we may want more from someone else, and we pressure them until they give in. They give not out of their heart and free will, but out of compliance, and they resent us for what they give. Neither one of us comes out ahead in that situation. To avoid situations such as these, we have to look at what falls within our boundaries and take responsibility for these areas in our life. Setting and maintaining boundaries, it's hard work, really hard, but the peace that comes from healthy boundaries is actually worth the efforts. Practice and mistakes are really a big part of that progression towards healthy boundaries. Kind of remember Rome wasn't built in a day? It surely applies here when we're learning to set boundaries. So I hope like these examples were kind of like far out there, but I think if each one of us looks at where we are impacted by boundaries in our life, whether it's with children or a request at work or a request in church or a friend, right, that keeps leaning on you, or you keep leaning on them. Whatever that situation is, we all can look in our lives and see the importance of having healthy boundaries and why we think it's going to be damaging to a relationship. When you actually set the boundaries, you find out who your true relationship people are, because as you set them from a healthy way and they honor them, it actually improves the bond and strengthens the relationship.
We have a God in Jesus who came and lived among us, who showed us what it was like to be human, to relate to others, to love others, to be whole spiritually and emotionally. And on that last night, when Jesus had gathered with his disciples, he took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you, that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. We ask that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup, then receive both elements at the same time. We do have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. I'll invite Becky to come forward to help me serve, and then you all are welcome to come as you are ready.
Look at places in our life where maybe we need to put some healthy boundaries in place. And may we also celebrate those places where we do have them, and those places where we've worked and have really grown and set some boundaries. Go in peace.